I want to tell you something. You can travel all over the United States of America on a Sunday morning and go to any church, any Baptist church you want to, and you won't hear any finer piano playing, organ playing, violin playing, and choir than we got right here. So let me just tell you something. Stay home. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. One of the most touching religious hymns that ever sung was "The Old Rugged Cross." It goes like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The next Sunday's Easter, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be celebrated all over America. But today is known as Palm Sunday, which commemorates Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So let's think for a moment of the cross today and the hill called Calvary. I want you to get your minds about in gear about the hill called Calvary. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Geographically, Calvary was a place of destination. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. One on the right and one on the left, they crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I want you to notice about that, the Bible says, when they come to the place called Calvary. Luke tells us there was a place called Calvary. Now, to your surprise, and maybe to mine too, it's the only place in the Bible where this word Calvary is mentioned. If you look through the whole Bible, you will not find that word Calvary until you come to Luke chapter 23, verse 33. The word Calvary is a beautiful word, isn't it? It's a word that just brings thoughts to your mind. It's a beautiful thought. Oh, the love, we sing it as we started off when the choir came in. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought him down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. At Calvary. What a precious, cherished word, that word Calvary. This summer, we spent some time. We're able to go to a place called Jerusalem. I saw some beautiful sights. There's the city there. Beautiful picture. The Bible says Jesus looked down upon Jerusalem and cried and wept. He would have loved to gather all of Jerusalem to him. But as we looked out on this big city, our hotel, you see two in the back there, higher than any of the rest. Our hotel was one of those. I believe it was one of those right there. But as I got up in the morning and I looked out the window at Jerusalem, I couldn't help but think, what a beautiful place. As we walked where Jesus walked and heard the things about Jesus Christ that we heard there. And then we were able to go to Calvary's mountain, the place of the skull, and there it is. On that hill, we understood that on top of that hill, there are three crosses were placed. One in the middle was Jesus Christ. You can see that it's called the place of the skull because you see the two eyes and the nose there of the place of the skull. Now, if you look at it, it's a bus terminal down below. But they would take the criminals right out and crucify them on that mountaintop there. And then some would be pushed off there to die of the fall and then stoned. I'm not sure why it's called the skull, but some say because it was a place of death. Many died there. Some say it was called the place of the skull because it resembles somewhat of a skull. To some, the skull carries a mental image of something ugly. But when I stood there, and I stood right where you look like you're taking the picture, I took that picture, and as I stood there and looked at that place, I thought, how beautiful. How beautiful it was. For there on that hill, Christ died for me. Right there on that hill, Jesus Christ, his precious blood, fell to the ground, and he died for me. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice in Matthew, the 27th chapter. Turn, if you will, hold your finger there on Luke 23:33, and turn to Matthew. Look right there. It says, and when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull. Now, you see something different about Matthew and about Luke. Let's read it again. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull. Now, if you will, turn back to Luke 23:33. And when they had come to what? The place called Calvary. There they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. One, in Matthew, it's called a place. And in Luke, it's called the place. Now, Matthew describes it as a place, and Luke describes it as the place. Luke says Calvary. Matthew says Golgotha. Luke says the place, and Matthew says a place. Matthew says a place, and Luke the place. Now, what is the difference? You see, Luke saw it as the place that God had chosen from the beginning of the world. God had chosen this place before the beginning of the world. The place. The place. The only place God had chosen. Why did he not choose America? One of the big cities here. Why did he not choose Rome? One of the big cities. Rome was a big city. Everybody would have known about it there. But it wasn't what God chose. Calvary was the place. There was a day when God looked all over creation. His beautiful world that he had created. America down here. Europe over here. South America down below North America. Asia, Africa. As he looked all over, he looked through all the great cities and saw Jerusalem. The place. The place. And he pinpointed one part of that, and it was the place. When I think of the place, I go back to Genesis 22. You see, God's told Abraham, take now thy son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get to the land of Moriah. You see where that dome is? That is Mount Moriah. God said, Abraham, you take your son Isaac, that only son, the promised heir, and you take him to the place, right there under that dome. Mount Moriah. And you sacrifice him there. Go to the place, it says. Genesis, turn to Genesis 22, verse 2. Beautiful scripture. Genesis 22, verse 2. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to what? The place which God told him. Abraham didn't just go to a place. Abraham went to the place. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Amen. God says, there, Abraham, there, right there on Mount Moriah is the place that I have chosen for Calvary. In Genesis 22, verse 9. Man, the Bible says, and they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar for a sacrifice upon the wood. What do you have here, folks? What you have here is a dress rehearsal. You know what a dress rehearsal is? Before we have the big Easter musical on Friday night, everybody gathers up here and we go through the Christmas musical. Excuse me, Easter's here. We go through the Christmas musical and the living Christmas tree. It's a dress rehearsal. It's a showing what the real thing's going to look like. Hundreds of years before Calvary, God gave us a wonderful picture of Calvary. And he says, Abraham, this is the place of sacrifice. X marks the spot right there under that dome. And when Luke says the place, it was a place, it was the place chosen by God. Geographically, Calvary was that place of destination. It was the place that God chose to send his son into the world as a substitute for you and I. Oh, when I think of Calvary, my mind goes back to the cross. My mind goes back to the blood. My mind goes back to that hammer we heard sung about. My mind goes back to the three spikes or the nails that they nailed him there. Oh, but they could not keep him down. You see, at Calvary, Jesus Christ came to redeem us and buy us back. Oh, it was a dark day, but Sunday's coming. Amen. Not only was it a place geographically, when I read in 33 of Luke 33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, it was a place of crucifixion. Historically, it's a place of crucifixion. Luke says, there they crucified him. Now, Mark says it was about the third hour of the day when they crucified him. In John, the 19th chapter, verse 16, the Bible says this, that they delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. You see, Calvary was not only a place geographically, it was a place historically where they crucified Jesus Christ. We call it the place of crucifixion. It was the place of execution. You see, it was when you crucified someone, it was giving them the death penalty. It was the death penalty. Here they had, in the United States, we've had hanging as a way of execution. We've had electric chair as a way of execution. We've had a firing squad as a place of execution. Now they have lethal injection as a place of execution. And when the people cried, crucify him, crucify him, you know what they were saying? They weren't saying just get out there and beat him up a little bit. No, they were saying give him the death penalty. Give him what he deserves. And when Pilate said to Jesus, knowest thou that I have the power to crucify thee? You know what he was saying to Jesus? He said, don't you know that I have the power of life and death? I have the power to crucify you. Don't you want to say anything? Oh, but he didn't know that our Father in heaven has the power of life and death. Now, there were different methods of crucifying one. The method that's described here in the passage of the scriptures in the gospel. First, they would strip their victim, and then they would scourge him and beat him with rods and whips. And usually, it was to the point almost of death, and many times one might die from this. And then they were made to carry their blocks of or crosses of wood up to that place that we saw. And it was a place of execution. And then the victim would be laid on that cross. And then they would be either strapped to that cross or nailed to that cross. In Jesus' case, he was nailed to that cross. And crucifixion was an extreme torture upon the body. A way of execution. It was the worst form of death you could ever think of. And the Romans were good at what they did. Today it takes only seconds. I was in the hospital about a month ago now, and they took me down to that operation room. Many of you know what I'm talking about. They lay you down there, and they hook up your IVs, and one guy will say, he said, Mr. Jones, I hear you like to fish. And that's all I remember. I don't think I ever got to answer that guy. But I woke up an hour later, I'd already had surgery. Now here we have the lethal injection, and that's what it's like. Just simple, go to sleep and you're gone. Except where I woke up, a lethal injection, you won't wake up, but it hurts nonetheless, I'm told. But crucifixion. Crucifying. Oh, it was the worst form of death. Here in America, we don't want our victims to feel any pain. However, crucifixion, as Brother Teddy said, could last sometimes for days, depending upon the health of the one that they were crucifying. In crucifixion, the cause of death was asphyxiation, where you could not breathe. You see, your arms were nailed upon that cross, or your legs were fixed where your arms bear the weight. And as you hung there, you tend to slide down from the weight, and you can't. You ever try to take a big breath of air? You have to kind of raise yourself up. Well, you'd literally have to pull upon those hands and nerves as they had those spikes through there. Pull your way up to get some air. And finally, when your body was so wore out, you died. You could not breathe. What a torturous way. Sometimes shock would cause death. Sometimes loss of blood of the victim would cause his death. But whatever way it was, you can bet on it. Crucifixion was a horrible way to die. 1 Peter 3:18. Let's read that together. 1 Peter says, for Christ also what? Suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust. He was just, we're the unjust. That he might bring what? Us to God. It's the only way that we could get to God. He had to bear our sins. He had to bear our suffering upon that Calvary's cross, that we might have a way of escape, that we might have salvation, that we might come to him. You see, being put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and someday I'll exchange for a crown. That's why I love Calvary. It means that I will have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Because of everything that Jesus went through, because of the suffering in his life, I can have eternal life. He paid the price for you and I. Oh, Calvary. We looked at it. It's a place geographically. It was the place that God chose upon the earth. Crucifixion. It's historically one of the worst forms of death that man could suffer. And Jesus Christ went to that for you and I. But personally, Calvary, it was a place. It was a place of salvation, personally. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul declares this, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that what Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He died upon Calvary that we might be saved according to God's holy word. It was Winston Churchill that paid a great tribute to the young men of the Royal Air Force back in World War II. He says, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." What a tribute. Never in history have so many people owed so much to so few. Well, as a Christian, I can say when Calvary, never in history have so many owed so much to just one. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, what does it say? In verse 33, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him." And look what it says. "And the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left." In these two criminals, two men, one on the right and one on the left, we have two responses that are here this morning. You see, every one of us have to make a choice. You're going to make one of these responses this morning. Two men, two responses. One said, verse 39, "If thou be Christ," if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. The Bible says he blasphemed Jesus Christ. He would not accept Jesus Christ. He said, "If you be who you say you are, why don't you save yourself? Not only that, why don't you save us?" And then in verse 40, the other rebuked him and says, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation? We justly deserve it, but he hasn't done anything for it." And then he asked Jesus Christ, He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Oh, two responses. One, receive salvation. "Lord, remember me." That's all you have to do this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is come and realize that we deserve to die. We're sinners. It was my sins that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. He could have come down from that cross anytime he wanted to, but he didn't want to because it was God's plan that he be the sacrifice for Byron Jones. For me. Not only that, he was a sacrifice for you. You see? And all you have to do is acknowledge your sinfulness and ask him to come into your life. And he'll say, today you'll have salvation. Today. Oh, some people say, well, when you die, you don't go to heaven immediately. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus says, today you will be with me. Wherever Jesus is, that's where you'll be, and he's in heaven. But that's how simple salvation is. The song goes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washes it white as snow. You want to go to heaven? You want to live eternal life? You want to be with Jesus when you die? Then you must realize that he died for you on the place called Calvary. It was a place geographically, it was a place historically, and it's a place personally for you and me. But there's also the one who rejected him. The Bible says one thief blasphemed him and reviled him, railed on him. One received, one rejected. You know what? One went to glory singing, praise God, I'm saved. The other went to hell, screaming in agony and pain. And do you know what? He's still there today. There's no escape, folks. When you die and are lost, you go there for all eternity. Over 2,000 years, he's been in a place called hell, screaming, crying for somebody to have mercy on him. But his chance was at Calvary's cross, and he chose not to trust Christ. Which will it be for you? This is Palm Sunday, the day of triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Oh, it could be a day of triumphal entry to you into the written book of life. When God writes your name in the Lamb's book of life, what a triumphal entry. My name in the book of life for all eternity. Will you choose Jesus this morning? You see, Calvary is the place that Jesus died that we might live. It's the place that God chose to redeem all mankind. But you have a choice to make. You can be like the one thief and say, I don't believe it. Or you can be like the other and say, Lord, remember me. I want your salvation. And if you'll come this morning, he says, whoever shall come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Calvary. God, it's a beautiful place. It's a place where we have salvation. And Lord, you provided it there on the cross. And Lord, I pray today that if there's one here without you in their life, if they don't know that they're saved or not, that today they might just put everything else aside and say, today I want to trust you, Lord. I want to come to the place called Calvary, and I want you, your salvation that you died there for me. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would just let them come in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.